Blog Talk Radio.
It is time to step out of the treadmill of running around and around and step right into the sippy zone where we explore the other side of reality. This side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. And so, because of that, we have something amazingly special today. Welcome to Tippy Talk. Today, we will be chatting together with Robert Goodhall as my co-host. Hi, Robert, are you there? And so, as soon as Robert is ready to join us, we will be chatting together. And the quote for today is, knowing others is wisdom, knowing yourself is enlightenment. And this is a quote by Lao Tzu. And the reason I picked that quote for today is because we're going to talk about fighting your demons. And fighting your demons means knowing yourself, and it means being enlightened. Today, we are going to do things completely differently because I'm going to talk about something that happened to me yesterday, the day before, living in the now of how I had to fight my demons and how I had to overcome my demons to survive, which is something that we all have to do. So, Robert, have you joined us today? Robert has dropped off, but let's see if we can get him back. Robert,
I am here.
Wonderful. So, Robert, when I say that we're going to... By the way, welcome, Robert.
Thank you.
Say hello.
Thank you very much.
And I'm so happy that you're joining me today. When I say today we're going to fight your demons, what does that tell you? What does that mean to you?
Well, one demon was this cell phone that I was just calling you on. I was trying to change... the settings to go off mute, and it wouldn't let me into the screen. So that's definitely been a demon. And sometimes it's a saint, and sometimes, you know, your greatest ally becomes your demon. So when things are working for you, it's good. When they're not, that's the demon, in my opinion. What do you think?
Definitely. So definitely that's one form of a demon. And the thing that happened to me, I had to fight off major, huge demons this weekend. And, you know, the biggest demons come from your family because you have a history, you have a lot of things that happened in the past that may not have been healed yet. And then when they come up, you come up for air and you get hit with your family and things that are related to the past, those are demons that are big. And when I got hit this weekend with it, it actually stopped me from going to the family ritual that they were doing that night. I didn't end up going. I ended up staying in my room because I didn't want to go feeling the way I did. I wanted to go to my room and fight off the demons, and I love that metaphor. Do you know where I got it from?
Where?
I actually just picked up a book. You know, I always read books. Every week, every 2 weeks, I pick up a new book, and this book is called Demonology. And I just realized it today as I was reading the book. I realized that the term that I kept coming up with all weekend, I have to find my demons, 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 probably came from me reading about demonology and what demons are. And so it made sense to kind of put it together. Just shows you how everything blends without you even realizing it. So you want to hear about my demons, of what I was fighting? I think we lost him again, so I'm going to tell you about my demons and what I was fighting. But before I do that, I'm going to give you some exciting news. And the news are that Tippy Talk and Books I Love is merging together. And this is exciting because now you'll have one place to go for everything. Even when we talk to authors about books, when we talk about inspiration to very inspirational people. And also another thing that we are inserting here is inspirational moments, which I'm hoping that that's what we're going to have today. We're going to have an inspirational evening of how to get inspired to deal with your demons in a productive way and turn them into your allies or get rid of them forever. So as an inspirational moment that we're adding to our venue, and that's why I came up with this. I'm going to talk about what just happened, how I dealt with it, and I want you to tell me your demons and what you're going through. Because everyday things like family gatherings, all painful memories are awakening, and being inspired to overcome and maybe even to get rid of these demons forever. So what are the demons that I had to deal with the past few days? And that is very personal and very intimate. One of the big demons that I have in my life is a major, major abuse that we suffered under the monster that my mother married, that we call Monster Frieder. And even though he's been dead, thank God, for a while, still certain things that he did keep coming back to my life. And when they do, they come out, they come in the form of huge demons, because as hard as I've worked on myself and forgiving him and moving on, it's still something that when you're going to push that button, that demon is going to awaken. And so one of the things that he did, I have my sister from another mister that my mother had, which was actually three sisters. And they came, and the whole family came together this past few days to do a huge meal and all the rituals that they do on this holiday called Passover. And one of my, both of my sisters stayed at my other sister's house, who lives right next door. And one sister has two babies. And I wanted to take her baby into the house to show her to my mother. And she did what Monster Frieder used to do when my little sisters were born. I was already 12 years old. And one of the things that he used to do, besides abuse us emotionally and physically and all that, is make sure that I stayed away from the baby. And I was 12. I was 13 when my sister was born. So to me, it was my baby. And when every time I would go near him, he would yell at my poor mother and scream and yell. And sometimes I would run out of the house saying, screw you and your baby. And sometimes I would just run out of the house. And it was always a very painful experience to see me being thrown out of the room, kind of like if I go near the baby, I'm going to contaminate that baby. And my sister did that to me this weekend. She kind of held back her baby, afraid for me to take her alone next door for whatever reason. And then when I wanted to take her other daughter, who's 4 years old, she sent my niece to chaperone me. And in itself, it may not seem like a huge demon, but considering of what I have suffered by Munster Fryer, the fact that his kids are now taking over his behavior, the demon was so big for me that I couldn't bring myself to go in and do the meal with them because I wasn't comfortable with being around them at all. So that was a demon that I had to fight, which I did. And so what we're going to talk about on the Inspirational Moments on TV Talk is how to deal with them, how you can deal with them, and how I dealt with them. And how, if you have something or a demon that you want to talk about, then we also want to address that. And so, Robert, are you back?
I've been back. I called back in on the other line because it's just a little clearer. So this demon of this phone is in and out, and it was
this phone
cut
is
off.
Definitely a demon. Yes, we have to exorcise him.
As you know, and there definitely does need an exorcism there. So I'm with you, and I hear what you're saying. Monster Friday. That how did you pick the day Friday?
No, his name is Frider. That's his last name. So I call him Monster Frider.
Frider
is his family name. Frider. Frider. Monster Frider. Happens to be his name. Thank God he's been dead. I hope he's rotting in hell. But the painful memories.
Demons belong there.
Yes, absolutely. So kind of when I tell the story of why it felt so horrible this weekend, does it feel to you like I overreacted?
Well, I don't know enough of the background there, but I know
no,
you
but
well
just
enough.
Based on what I said.
In what regards?
Okay, so you didn't hear what I was just saying. So the reason I'm asking if I overreacted in the sense that I couldn't go to the mill and I had to stay home, and I literally felt my heart pounding. And at the same time, one of my neighbors called me over here, and she was dealing with her demons, which is her ex, which is the kids in custody, and he wants them and I want them. And I felt when she was ranting and raving about it, I felt like she was totally overreacting. Because
I heard all of that, yes. You handled that very maturely. And my family, when I was growing up, would break into some wild times, some fights, where there'd be horrible times, where the police would come. And those are demons that still exist. And we didn't know that I wish we would have gotten out of there or avoided it like you did.
Monster Fighter called the police on me one time. Didn't go very well for him, but he did call the police on me.
Can you imagine a child at the age of 6
and
younger siblings, even younger, and all of a sudden there's these flashing lights and sirens and
scary. There's...
And what the precursor to that is arguing. And years ago, people would do a lot more drinking. You know, it was load the car up with booze and check to see if it has gasoline in it. So there was a lot drinking was a lot more acceptable, and it was definitely a witch's brew, those mineral spirits they'd bring out the demons in you for sure. They wouldn't hold anything back.
Absolutely. It's very easy to get people to light up. And so the question is, how do you deal with your demons? And here's a quote by Marcus Aurelius, who was a Roman emperor in 121 and 180 AD. And this is what he said, and he's totally right. And being that I went through this major distress, it's almost like this spoke to me. And he says, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this, you have the power to revoke at any moment. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, so this thing that is hurting me is not something I just did. It's something somebody else did, how I internalized it. But the question here, Robert, really is, when somebody hits you like that, whether they're yelling or screaming at you or doing something that somebody that abused you has done for so many years, and not only just anyone, his daughter is doing that to me, it's how you handle it. What are you going to do to react? Are you going to scream back and bring out the demon inside of you and then go at each other until the police get there? Or are you going to realize that it's an external action of somebody else that really has nothing to do with you and that you should not be hurt by that, and be able to actually channel love in spite of it, which is really hard to do. So it took me all night. I couldn't sleep maybe till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And after, by the morning time, by the time I woke up, I was fine enough to be able to go for the morning meal. That's how it went with me. So it was pretty good. One night was not so bad. It could have been worse.
I think I've experienced both scenarios where you stick it out and face it, and I've also seen where you avoid it. I think what you did was, from my experience, brilliant. Living both sides, I wouldn't be able to give you that expert opinion, but I have been on both sides, where we've stuck it out and we've seen blood and even a hotel broken down and police and people put in jail and an eyeball knocked out and hair pulled out of family members' heads and a miscarriage from a best man's wife at a wedding. And
wow.
That was by sticking it to the end, to where you couldn't get out of those situations, or you could have, but and then I've seen where you leave, no incident, you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but that discomfort could be much, much worse. And I can tell you that firsthand, that what you did, from my experience, was a brilliant way to handle it. And then talking about it here on the radio, maybe the listeners, it'll get back to them. The truth has a way of always coming out, and the higher road may not instantaneously be rewarded, but over time those seeds get planted, and if you do what's best, it seems that the best results are admired. Maybe not at the time. You'll face even some more criticism, but later on you'll be respected for it tremendously, has been my experience.
That sounds really good. Thank you. That sounds really good, because basically it's all about living in the now. And the first thing that I had to do was to identify the pain of what it was that was hurting me. And I had to really actually get into that moment instead of lashing out at her and confronting the situation. Because so many people seem to be kind of like on a treadmill of really reacting to a situation rather than acting from your power. And so that's exactly why I'm bringing it up now, because it happened now. Something beautiful happens and you're in the moment and this is what you share. And I'm really glad that you think I handled it right, because I kind of thought I overreacted only because my neighbor overreacted. And so the next morning when I went, I was fine. I was able to love the kids and hug them and kiss them without feeling bad about anything at all, never saying a word to anything. Another thing that my other sister did, so this happened to me in bunches, so this is one sister did that, and the other sister, instead of coming and staying at my mother's house, which is huge and she's got 3 free bedrooms, she went and stayed at another neighbor's house. And she never even told me she was coming. Basically, she didn't treat me like a sister. She treated me like a stranger. And that felt really bad, too. And I'll tell you why she did that. Because she's very Orthodox, very fanatic. I'm not. She's very kosher. I'm not. This house is not kosher. So I'm thinking maybe she didn't want to stay here because, God forbid, she may taste something that isn't 100% kosher, and over here nothing is. So that could be why she did it, but it felt like a personal rejection. Coupled with what my other sister did of not letting me take her baby, it felt so big at a time. Like, I literally wanted to throw myself on the floor and just cry because I felt like nobody cares about me, like I'm just going to die alone. I don't even have to tell you how dramatically bad it felt.
It hurts for sure, yes. It's nobody wants to be rejected. It hurts. And especially from something so innocent and so children, you know, what's more loving than that? They're precious, and to be rejected like that, it hurts.
Yeah, it did. So basically, I'm committed to really living an inspirational life. And part of the process of living an inspirational life is living a life that, instead of doing all the things that I have to do and leaving very little time to doing the things that I want to do, actually switching that around and taking the time to do the want-tos, what I want to do, and taking not so much time doing on the have to do. And that's when you get the treadmill of going around and around in circles because you get nowhere. You get nowhere that you want to go. So I get it, because for years I was stuck on that same treadmill, and I know that this was not the life I wanted to live or the life that I was meant to live, because the life that I wanted to live and the life that I was meant to live was a life of where I get to do what I want to do more than what I have to do. Of course, you always have the things that you have to do, but what is the predominant thing in your life? Do you do more of what you have to do, or do you do more of what you want to do? And when you do more of what you want to do, then you know you're living a life that is inspirational and that you actually can enjoy. So that's when I began the transition. The transitions, and then transitions are very challenging because all of a sudden I asked myself to do things that I never did before. But the truth is that the longer you wait to begin the process of doing what you love, then the more you get buried under the weight of confusion and doubt and fear, and the further away you get from actually being able to jump into a life where you can just do what you really want to do. So I decided that I'm going to live by inspiration. And the only way to live by inspiration, really, is to live by inspiration. There's no other way to do it. If you make a decision to live because of your inspiration, then just do it, because there's no magical formula. And that one day will present itself and let you know it's time to step into living in the inspiration zone. It's just not going to happen. You just have to take that one baby step at a time. So one of my steps to living by the inspiration of doing what I love was Tippy Talk. But the next step was to start the inspirational moments. So I waited and I waited for the right time, for the right voice of God to tell me to go forward. And I waited and I waited and I waited until I realized it, that the first step to transforming my life and to live the life of my dreams into the experience of the life is knowing your passion, knowing what it is that you really, really love, which will lead you very naturally to your purpose. But the second step is to just start living it, because as you do, you become more aware of what's going on, and more aware means that you see things more clearly. You see the good and the bad and the ugly. And when you see the bad and the ugly, it isn't necessarily always so bad and so ugly. Like your phone, Robert, even though he may look like a demon, I think there's an angel inside that demon of that phone, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, demons really are devils or fallen angels. So why can't they be reversed?
Yeah, exactly. They can be. That's exactly what I'm saying. So this week, the ugly came out to say hello to me. and it stung and it hurt, and it tempered me to take a step back and to let go of my strong urge that I wanted to live an inspirational life. But because of the support that I have and because of the amazing people that I have around me, I was able to look those demons in the eyes and keep them away for a while longer. And I don't know how long I can keep them away, maybe until my sister's from another mister pulls another one on me, because her monster, another one of what her monster father used to do. But really, there's more to it, because think about it. What if you had a strategic plan, reliable tools, and an ongoing support to guide you towards a more holistic and a joyful and authentic life? And what if you didn't have to fight those demons alone? And that's what we created Tippy Talk for us to be able to be here to support you when you're hit with those demons and to clap for you when you're doing the inspirational thing, when you're actually being inspired. So if you try doing it on your own and it hasn't worked, these inspirational moments are for you to enjoy. When you're ready to join us, you can join us in the quest of living by inspiration. And if you want to discover who the authentic you really is, if you want to uncover your true passion and your purpose in life, then this is what Tippy Talk is, the place to start. Not the place to end, but the place to start. And so I really love the idea of supporting people. And also another thing that happened today is we were lucky enough to be able to support someone who wants to do a great event to help veterans. And we're going to do that, Robert, aren't we?
Absolutely. The veterans are somebody who are always there to support whatever this country wants to do. Whether the veteran's an American veteran or a veteran of his or her country, they're so supportive, and they get so little for what they give. They're willing to give the ultimate, their lives, and without much questioning. As a matter of fact, without any questioning most of the time, and they put it all on the line, and some of them never come back. So veterans are the core of any great nation. It has to have great veterans who serve unconditionally. That is so much that they give. And constantly they're giving and giving and giving. There's I can't think of any position that's greater than that of somebody who serves our nation to that degree, to where they're willing to die and take an oath to die for their nation. What could be more giving than that?
That's right. So stay tuned, because we will be talking about the veteran event that's coming up. It's going to be a huge, fun event for the veterans, and you are invited to participate in any form you want, because Tippy Talk is here to support you. And also, if you want to move forward in your own career, in your job, in your life, if you feel confused about your direction, that's what Tippy Talk is for. So in short, we aim to attract more health, wealth, happiness, and balance. In the order of the priorities that we have, that I always see, and tell me if your order is different, Robert, the first most important thing is really your health and your body, because without your health, there's nothing. There's nothing left. If you don't have health, you don't have anything. And then the second priority is love, which is what drives the universe and our personal emotions. And I'm not just talking about love between a man and a woman, loving all people around us, finding the special relationship. That's the second top priority. And then the third one, of course, guess what that is, Robert? What's the third one?
Tell me.
Take a wild guess.
Have fun.
Abundance, lots of money, physical comfort. It's definitely a third priority, because everybody deserves to live a life of abundance. There's no reason at all for anyone to have any lack other than the lack that they kind of put themselves into a maze of saying, poor, I'm starving, and that's what I call the poverty mentality. So that's one of the most important things once you have your health and once you have the relationship, because what's the point of having millions and billions of dollars if you're going to be sitting alone in a castle and be miserable? Makes no sense at all. Or if you don't have your health. So in that order, health, love, and physical abundance, that's our mission. That is what we want to do. And
yes.
Do you agree with that order?
Yes. And, you know, an organization that we belong to, one of my first speeches in Toastmasters was my three priorities. Can I share them with you?
Absolutely.
Your health is very important. Love is very important. Abundance is very important. And I believe I may have covered them in this order. Your head on straight, survive, be happy. I believe if you have your head on straight, then you will know to take care of your health. You'll know to love, and you'll know to have abundance. And if you can survive, that's also being healthy, and love is something to also survive through. And the abundance correlates with being happy. Whatever it takes, you know, to have a lot of money or a lot of happiness or a lot of love or a lot of success, that is your happiness. And so I correlate exactly what you're saying about the health and the love and the abundance with those three items.
Actually, that's exactly what you're saying. And you're saying that, and I'm saying that in order to get the happiness that you're talking about, which you're right, that's a great priority, you have to do the things that you love in life, not just the things that you have to do. You have to also do the things that you want to do to be happy. Because if all you ever did was errands and you have to do this and you have to, how are you going to have time to be happy?
You have to enjoy those errands.
Yeah, that's true. That too. You can definitely enjoy those errands also. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But I guess it's about balance. That's really what it is. It's about balance. And, yeah. And so really what you're saying is that enjoying those errands is basically living a life of gratitude. And I have a quote to finish this program today, which I actually picked about gratitude, which is by Melody Beattie, who is an author. She said that gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Because no matter what you do, if you do it in a state of happiness and enjoy doing it and do it with gratitude, everything in your life changes. Rather than doing everything with resentment and with pressure and with anxiety. Absolutely. I totally agree. That was a great speech, great idea, too, because just looking at those things itself is important. And reevaluating it on a regular basis, too, wouldn't you say? Because could be your priorities might change a little bit from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. Constantly. There's one person I like to share with us. I wasn't her greatest fan, but I did appreciate a lot of things, or some of the things she did. She's no longer on the air, but it was Oprah Winfrey. And No, she's just not on the air anymore. She doesn't have a daily talk show.
Oh, she has her own network, I think. So she's still happening somewhere.
She has started a lot of networks. However, she's not speaking daily as she used to. But one of the things she used to emphasize was that everybody should have a gratitude book. And she would write something down in her gratitude book daily. And she encouraged people to do that constantly.
I like that. That's a really good idea. Because it keeps you focused on being grateful for things.
If you list the things that you're grateful for, 10 items a day, and you put that in your book, your life is going to change for the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your life is going to change, period. Everything is going to change because it forces you to focus on the things that you're grateful for, and what you focus on just keeps on adding up. You keep getting more things to be grateful for. And so whatever, if you focus on negative things, then more negative things keep happening, which is exactly what's happening with my neighbor. She calls and complains about things on Monday, and then on Tuesday, lo and behold, she has twice as many things to complain about. Because I try to tell her, okay, let's focus on what is positive in your life. She goes, oh, please, I'm not in the mood for that. Do not talk to me about positive when I'm in this state of mind. Okay. Let's not talk about it then. It's your life. But, yeah, that's exactly what happens. And so I hope that the way I dealt with these demons this weekend was a little bit inspirational for somebody, because I could tell you one thing for sure, Robert, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's gone from my mind, because I did not enjoy that at all.
Well, isn't Passover a time to where you let things pass over and then you give another opportunity?
Yes, and I it certainly passed over me, actually trampled me as it passed over me. But, yeah, I let it pass over me, throw me down, knock me out, and I revived myself, took a shower, and got up and moved on. Yes, and I think we all have those kind of things that hit us from time to time. And it's not about the things that hit us. It's not about the things that upset us. It's more about how you handle that. What do you do when that happens? Do you become aware of all those horrible feelings of what's causing them, or do you just go with it and start, like you say, ranting and raving at each other until the police show up and you all end up in jail? What is it that you do? So that's do you have any demons that you've had to deal with other than your cell phone within the past day or two?
Oh, constantly. They're out there all the time. But, you know, I'm just going to reflect back for a moment. If you're writing down 10 things that you're grateful for,
right?
It takes a while sometimes to come up with one, you know, one thing. But if you're trying to focus on 10, you don't have time for the demons. You get what you chase. So if you're chasing good ideas, you don't have time for the bad ones.
No, you don't. But trust me, the demons will find a way to come through the cracks. Somehow they will find a way. And you do have to be prepared for it. You do have to understand that when something happens to hurt you, it's not necessarily a bad thing, and it's not necessarily a reason to become to go down to that level and become a crazy person just because something is really hitting you hard or someone is hitting you hard. It's not a justification to get in the mud and start wrestling. It's not. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, absolutely. And if you have the artillery of all that list of the things you're grateful for and you've been building it up, you know, at the end of the month, 30 days times 10, you have 300 pieces of equipment of gratitude to where you can combat that one situation.
Yes, and so we're going to leave you, everyone, with a pen and a paper by your side, ready to write your 10 things that you are grateful for. And I'm going to start with 3 things that I'm grateful for today. I'm really grateful that we had a beautiful, beautiful weather in New York. Not a very common everyday thing, so you're actually extra grateful for that when that happens. I'm really grateful for Tippy Talk, and I'm really grateful for Robert for being here with me and doing this, because this is so much fun. And that's number 2. I said I was going to be grateful for 3 things. And the 3rd thing that I'm grateful for, I'm embarrassed to say it, so I'm going to just write it down and keep it to myself. Do you have 3 things?
Yes.
You have 3 things that you're grateful for?
Coincidentally, they overlap. I am so grateful for the Tippy Talk show. It has brought out very positive things you're passionate about, books you love, and just the talk to where you have this gratitude conversation here this evening is fantastic.
Another thing I'm grateful for is I called you at a moment's notice to support me on this veterans fundraiser. You were there. That is a friend that you've been a friend, Tippi. Whatever I call you about, you're right there. And to have you as a friend is one thing that I'm grateful for. There's a lot of people out there. Yeah, I sincerely mean that. There's a lot of people out there who are friends when it's easy and convenient. But to travel that extra distance and to go out of your way.
Especially when somebody gives you a wrong address and makes you drive around in circles.
Well, I had help with that. You know, it was posted on a very large sign, the wrong address, right there across the street from the facility. So I'm grateful I have a good excuse. And the other thing I'm grateful for is to be able to have a positive mindset and to, you know, and to have people who you can baseline things off of, even the demons, you can say, gee, at least I'm not that bad. So the bad things make you look even better. So you can be grateful for bad.
Yes. So I would say everybody take out a piece of paper right now and write down at least 10 things that you are grateful for and send it to us at Tippi Talk. You can go to tippitalk.net, which is a website that is not quite ready for you yet, but you can check it out anyway. Or you can just leave a comment right here below. You can see right below the slide, and you can leave a comment for us and tell us what it is that you are grateful for. And unbelievable, Robert, because time flies and we are even over the time that we did it. So we are finally really coming to the end. Any last minute thoughts that we have now that we made our grateful list?
Just continue on with being grateful and sharing that gratitude, especially during this Passover time.
That's right. Continue being grateful, sharing that gratitude, and especially this amazing springtime and Passover time and Easter time, that the weather kind of sinks to you and nature wakes up and smiles at you, and it just seems like everybody is walking the happy walk, unless the demons come in the way once in a while, so try to avoid them. And so, thank you, Robert. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippi Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with everybody. Thank you, Robert, for joining me today. I appreciate that. You've been listening to Tippi Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, speaking today with Robert Goodhall. But he doesn't know how to spell his name. But how do you spell your last name, Robert?
It is Goodall. And it sounds like always good, Goodall. But it's actually G-U-D-D-A-H-L. Which, loosely translated, I'm told, has two definitions: God's Valley and Good Valley, depending on who's doing the translating.
Okay, so when you do the translating, what does it mean?
Good all.
Okay. See, all good all, all good. Great way to end it. And so, yes, we bid you a magical journey.
Don't need a man, you got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent, flying high like a bird with your aviators.
similar to being